Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Why, hello there, and welcome to Carolla Classics for November 9th, 2019, the show where we're going to play some of the greatest moments of the Adam Carolla Show. He's done over 10 years of podcasting, and we are going to compress a lot of that greatness into one little clip show, or maybe two if you subscribe to Carolla Classics. I'll tell you more about that in a little bit. First off, let me introduce myself. My name's Chris Loxamana, executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show, and with me, as always, Carolla archivist, superfan Giovanni.
You are not cutting out that weird intro.
That was a little weird. I'll be honest. I love it. I'm in a weird mood, Gio. I've been in Vegas all week at SEMA.
Partying.
Probably the exact opposite. I've been working the whole time, but you heard all about it with Adam. He was there for a lot of it. Even Adam saying it was a crazy week.
I just give you a hard time. You're the hardest working man in podcasting.
See, now I'm keeping all that in. All right, let's get started with some clips. First off, gotta apologize for last week. There's a poop in the a bag story with Cousin Sal that a lot of people had trouble hearing. It was uploaded incorrectly. If you do want to hear it, though, just go ahead and download it now, and it should work.
So, the audio's still rough. It's the best it's ever sounded, but it's part of classics. So yeah, I'm not going to ignore any
that's what it
parts
sounded
of the show that recorded poorly. If it was released, we're going to play it for you.
That's what it sounded like back then.
But it's still a little bit better.
It's a lot better.
Regarding the poop in the bag story, I never thought it would be the episode we recently played. Yeah. We just played a French Stewart's episode. But of course, it's the French Stewart poop in a Del Taco bag story they wanted. And that was Ashley H., the dude we misgendered and misclipped. And we got it corrected on this several times. Twitter, Facebook, one person was kind of douchey. The rest were cool about it. How about no LOLs if you're over 25, maybe? And then also, I want to say Taylor was the first person to tell me, one of our avid listeners, that it was the French Stewart episode. So she was actually the first person to point it out.
Yeah.
And she should get credit. And this one's just for Ashley H. And I guess everybody else who wanted to hear the poop in the bag story from Adam Carolla Show 2088, which we recently played. French Stewart, Gina Grad, Brian Bishop, 2017. Check it out. Woo.
You know what's funny is like I used to gas her to sleep with 70s hits.
Uh-huh.
And then you find yourself like singing like Fooled Around and Fell in Love, and you're like, oh, it's working, but
it sticks with
it. At what price?
At what price do I bring Elvin Bishop
right
into like the baby
right
scenario? Like, I don't know.
That's another one of those songs where he announced that all he did was love women, orgasm, and leave.
Oh, the first line is, that's I must right have been through about
a million girls.
I love them, leave them alone. Oh, actually, I take prescription meds out of the medicine counter, then I leave them alone. Yeah.
It's a lot of sex for a dude with a straw hat. Well, it's delightful, though. I love you guys. We should, like, we should get together again, like, in a year. Just hang out.
Write another book.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I gotta crap out another book.
Yeah.
Long intro.
Look at that.
Oh, no.
You got a wolf.
You should have talked it up.
I must have been through about a million girls. I love them and I leave them alone.
Is this the guy from Starship?
Yeah.
Singing? I didn't care.
It's
sounds like it, but
that's Mickey Thomas, isn't it?
Yeah. But like, it sounds very.
No, this is not Elvis.
It's very Jefferson.
Yeah. Oh, it isn't?
It is not.
Oh.
But it feels like it.
Oh, then.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Stepped in.
Yeah, it is the Starship guy.
Oh,
Mickey.
Yeah. He'd do, like, Miracles. Like.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
It is.
It's not even a Tool
song. It's a great song, isn't it?
Oh, the song's great.
Yeah.
Well, the windows might go up.
It's solid. Like,
But French, if you're listening to this song in traffic and you pull up to a red light, the windows go up.
You don't want other people to know you're enjoying this song.
Oh, well, here's something about me. Oh. I don't apologize for it. Yeah. I've got fucking Toto. I've got all sorts of bullshit.
He's Tool Tune Immune.
And like
Tool Tune Immune.
I'll play it at a party and I'll be all like, Yeah, I just played some Taylor Swift for you fucking drunk fat bastards, and I don't give a shit about it. Like, I'm unapologetic.
And they're like, next time let's have the wake over at Linda's house.
Yeah, well, I'm
this
sorry.
French but, is being wildly inappropriate.
Yeah, well, enjoy ABBA.
Perhaps this is our problem for holding the wake at French's, and we thank you for volunteering French, but the next time someone dies, we're just going over to Linda's house.
With, I like all the Bee Gees, I'm sorry, Linda.
Linda did not like Taylor Swift, you knew that.
Linda will take what she fucking guess because that's what happened with Linda's life. Linda, like, look, Linda fucked everybody over, and now she gets what she gets at her fucking wake. I love Linda.
Great eulogy.
All right, let's do one more story over here.
Yeah, let's do another one.
In less than a month, McDonald's has more than doubled the number of its U.S. locations that offer delivery. According to the CFO, delivery is now available at more than 2,000 locations, and he expects the partnership with Uber Eats to expand that to more than 35 locations by the end of this month. Previously, McDonald's had expanded its third-party delivery to more than 1,000 chains nationwide. McDonald's already has well-established delivery service in Asia and the Middle East, where for some restaurant delivery is 40% of sales. Last year, McDonald's garnered nearly $1 billion in delivery sales globally.
I argue that the people that when you wait for to show up at your house, you don't enjoy it as much as when you leave your house and you do that moment where you walk in and you get a little whiff of the fries and the meat. And then there's that little sort of it's the foreplay period. Like, well, there's a few people in front of me in line. I'm going to look up at the board here. Nothing better than reading the board up there. See what we got over here. Thinking about some supersizing going on. Then, then this power move where you dispatch your mate. Hey, hold down that table. What do you want?
Yes.
You want big and fries? Okay. Yeah. I got to get the table. Go sit there. Someone's going to sit there. Yeah. They go sit and they lock down a table.
Damn straight.
I like that.
They got to get the one they want.
Yeah.
It's the foreplay.
Yeah.
It's the foreplay.
It's the whole experience.
It's like the McRib is back.
Yeah.
Like,
there's a McRib tracker.
Are we going to have like a Shamrock Shake? Oh. Fuck. I'll pull into that. Let me tell you something. I'm going to be honest with you. I will eat any shit out of McDonald's and love it. And everybody can like take their gluten-free bullshit and walk it across the street because I'm going to eat that filet of fish. It's not fish. I understand that. But like I let my mind like think that it is.
Yeah.
Now, McDonald's has worked out diabolically a whole bunch of stuff. It's the Twinkie or it's the Jack in the Box taco.
That's right.
You can all close your eyes and taste a Jack in the Box taco, which does not resemble the taste of a taco.
No.
It's
your
taco.
And you're okay with it.
Some part of your brain likes it more in a weird way.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can I tell you a terrible thing?
Yes.
All right. Like I was going through pilot season a couple of years ago and I was driving like I had to be like – Like I do an audition. I'm a businessman, and then I'm a principal. I'm like something. But I'm going to all these things, and so I'm going over to Fox, and there's that Del Taco, and I go, all right, I'm gonna eat that, and so I ate it, and then on my way back, I was like, oh, I don't feel like great, and then I was like, oh, I should go home, and then I was like, no, I should pull over, and then I pulled over into the flats of Brentwood. And I crawled into the back seat of my Cadillac and I shat in a Del Taco bag.
Hey, it's a guy from Third Rock shitting in a bag.
It's a guy from Third Rock shitting in a Del Taco bag. So you're probably wondering, like, why are you telling me this?
No. Well, now you only have 12 secrets.
Right. Like, just stay humble.
Right.
That's
no,
all.
I like
that's
it. Keeping it real. I like that.
Like, it is what it is. It's like you do that, and then you're like, oh, this suit actually cost $2,000. And like, but like, here I am, and like, this happened. And
but know. I like.
It's starting to make sense why French doesn't get embarrassed about the music he listens to.
That's the least of his worries in the car.
Oh, no. Twitter. After Twitter, I just like, you have enough like 13-year-old kids like tell you that you're garbage that like at a certain point, you're just like, all right, well, I'm garbage.
Lean into it.
Like, I'm cool. Like, it's fine. I'm like, I get it. Like, I'm Inspector Gadget 2. I'm like Home Alone 4. It's all fine. Like, I know my sweet spot. Go nuts. Like, you know, it's fine. Yeah.
Yes, Gina Grant.
Can I tell you really fast? I thought of an indicator the other day, and I wanted to run it by you when it comes to car commercials and that whole thing. Have you noticed in the last year or so, in the car commercial, they use the seat warmer to put their fast food on so it's warm when they get it home?
Ooh.
Well, I don't remember what car. I saw
I've
that.
Not
I was
seen
like,
this.
Oh, my God, that's in a car commercial.
I don't mind that.
I don't mind it either.
But it's a bit of an indicator,
we're
right?
We're getting soft. Yeah, we're definitely getting soft.
It's a life hack.
There's a game that I play with my wife where, like, it's August or September in L.A. and it's hot. And I put on the seat warmer and give her a hot ass.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
She didn't know it's coming. Suddenly she's like, I'm sweating. What's like? Hey, did you give me a hot ass? Yeah, I gave you a hot ass. Mind your business.
Yeah. All right. And knock it off for the back seats, French, because that bag of shit is boiling over. And
damn,
it's giving
straight
me a,
it
give
is.
Me a hot nostril here, man.
My bunghole. It's my bung.
All right. Let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
I got a damaged butthole. Gina. Son of a goddamn was the bitch. News with Gina Grad.
And that was French Stewart pooping in a bag, requested by some chick named Ashley. Thank you for requesting that. And if you want to request a clip, just email us, classics@adamcarolla.com. You can tweet us, @GiovanniGiorgio, @ChrisLoxamana. Find us on Instagram, Facebook, wherever. We're around, and we're listening. So email us your favorite moments, guest interviews, bits, whatever. And
we'll play them.
Yeah, we'll play them right here in Cruel Classics. I'm really excited for this next clip trio. It features Jean Lajoie. Did I say that right?
Correct.
Yeah.
It is.
Mostly known for The League. He played Taco in the very popular fantasy football show. And also great comedic musician.
Yeah, it's this Adam Carolla Show 485. This is from back in January of 2011. I think they're promoting the third season of The League. This is about right when I jumped on as a viewer. I have to agree, it's a great show. He was great on it. He was initially known for his YouTube fame for videos, and former producer Katie was a big fan, and this was a huge get for her. She really wanted him on the show.
She
loved all his YouTube stuff.
Very excited when he came in.
Yeah, and he came on. He was a great guest, so I just decided to put the whole entire interview in the news segment in, so it's kind of long. Chopped out all the ads. Also, he's actually quite just a regular great musician. He like gives you a running for your money a little bit, Chris, and talent-wise. You may actually want to check it out. He's this thing called Wolfie's Just Fine, where he recreates Friday the 13th, A New Beginning, and then like also intercuts like himself as a kid seeing it for the first time in a neighbor's house and getting freaked out. The song is beautiful, and it's a perfect recreation of that weird movie he chose.
All right, then. Let's listen to...
Until then, Adam Carolla Show 45, Jean Lajoie.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, I was eating. Jean Lajoie.
What's up, guys?
Yeah. TV series is The League. Third season just picked up. Airs on FX. And, John, I'm looking down here. We got a lot of stuff to talk about here.
Adam.
Third of nine people.
Yeah. Herschel Walker looks different. Yeah. I expected much bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
He must have stopped the creatine. Third of nine children?
Yes. Eight brothers and sisters.
How'd that work? Where are you from?
Montreal, Canada.
Yeah, that's why you're from.
Yeah, we don't have condoms up there. My dad just...
Yeah, what? Maybe it's too cold and they break.
Yeah, like, I think so. Over. Do they freeze condoms?
It's nice. It's weird. See, it's weird for us out here because, you know, we're white. We don't normally get the privilege of seeing someone with almost 10 kids who's our color. Yeah. That's kind of cool. Yeah.
I mean, of course, we had to bring it in from Canada, but it's still cool. Still kind of.
I mean,
cool.
Assuming all your brothers and sisters are your color, we don't know.
Yeah, why assume? How rude.
Sorry, man.
You never know.
That was very close.
Maybe my dad married a black chick. You don't know that. Yeah. Thinking my dad is racist? Like, what?
Yeah.
No, they're very white and very racist, so we're all white.
Oh, cool. Now, what is it? now I'm down with that. Canada seems to have a pretty good sense of humor.
Yeah,
in general. Bad, like, I'm trying to think if you were going to do this sort of, I don't know, G8 or something of senses of humor, like if you were just going for the powerhouse countries, you know, Britain,
Latvia.
Pretty good Latvia. I didn't want to overstate the obvious, but Latvia. And
but yeah, I mean, I guess, like
country Central America and places like that.
Yeah.
Where do you think? Where would you put Canada? Would you put them in front of Britain?
No. Because we get our influences from you guys and from Britain. You know, we get the English sensibilities and the American sensibilities, and we blend them together. And we're just unoriginal like that. We're just kind of bored, so we watch you guys and listen to the Brits and go, oh, let's take the best of these two. But we're clever. We make it actually sound original.
Is Canada small enough so that when you return, you get a little more juice, a little more love than you do here? Like,
I feel like
you get lost here, or one would get lost here,
right? Absolutely. I mean, in Canada, there are like 3 TV stations, and if there is a good show on, which happens every 4 years, I guess, then everyone loves it, and you get a lot of like support. But mostly people watch American shows up there and the one good Canadian television show. And they're very supportive of their own. So, yes, when I go and I do shows in Canada, it's like theaters and stuff. And here it's basically, you know, corner of a comedy club. Not even on the stage. Like, they just put me on the side.
Yeah, now Canada has a, I don't know how it works, but they require, like, radio stations to play, like, you know, 1/3 or 1/4 Canadian artists or something.
Yeah.
They have so much Anne Murray played per day.
Yeah.
So Cowboy, much BTO
Junkie,
and all that. What is the percentage of that?
I think whatever, like, they have to do that, or else everyone, you know, in Canada, people watch American shows. They watch, read American magazines, listen to American music because, you know, it's not necessarily better, but I'd say a lot of the time it is, you know.
But
so.
I mean, I don't know. I just feel like Led Zeppelin, the world owns Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
The world owns the Beatles. Don't you guys feel like you own the Beatles almost as much as Britain? Like, I just feel like the world owns, it's like an artist or a poet.
Yeah.
You know, I just feel like the world owns Shakespeare. I don't feel like.
Or Mike Myers.
Or Mike Myers, Shakespeare, or Mike Myers, or Herschel Walker, or another.
Look at the size of that. So
I feel like the world owns these people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shouldn't Canada sort of adopt that now?
Well, I think. Yeah, no, I'm not defending it. I think it's just literally so that some Canadian bands and artists actually get some kind of airplay and some food in their mouths, because or else everyone's just going to give up in Canada and go. They're all going to move here, which we all do.
Right.
Clearly, we all move to the United States if we want to pursue a career in the arts. But, I guess that's just to keep a few stragglers around, you know? So hey, my song played on Shom FM in Montreal. I'll stick around for a few years.
So you came out here at what age?
About 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm pretty
new. Dodge the question.
Yeah, I don't know how old you are.
Oh, wow, I'm 30.
Oh, you're 30?
Yeah.
All right. So you're 37 when you came out here. Got that.
In Canadian years.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I like when they put grade, like we do 11th grade and you guys do grade 11.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't have many Canadian stories other than and this is pre-9/11, customs, pretty rough over there in Canada.
Really? Going up to Canada?
Going into Canada.
Oh, wow.
I got the speech from everyone. Listen, tell them you're here on pleasure. Don't tell them business. You tell them business, you're screwed. So just tell them pleasure, and they'll let you go on through.
Mm-hmm.
And I got pulled out, and they're like, business or pleasure? And I'm like, pleasure. You know, and they go, all right, let's check your briefcase. And besides a Jugs magazine they pulled out, they also pulled out an itinerary. and it was a super busy itinerary because Jimmy and I had gone to Canada because we'd sold the Man Show to Canada, and it was like good morning Montreal and good morning this and good morning you know, then it's off to do the face off with the Canucks and all this kind of stuff, and it was like nonstop itinerary of Canadian whatever. And they're like, really, this is pleasure, huh?
You're just doing this for fun.
You're going salmon fishing. What are you doing? And I was like, well, don't mind the 9 pages of very detailed itinerary.
Yeah,
that is pleasure. But my argument, I remember this was a crazy argument. I said, I don't get paid for this stuff. Like, I'm not getting, when I do these radio shows and all this stuff, I'm not getting paid. We're promoting something, but we don't get paid. And then I said, listen, when Michael J. Fox does my radio show back in L.A., he doesn't get paid. And the woman said, who's Michael J. Fox? And I was like, what?
Get out.
That's why the entire tone of the conversation changed from what am I doing here to why don't you know who Michael J. Fox? By the way, this is 1999 or 2000.
MMA fighter, right?
She
thinks he's related to that guy with one leg who jogged across the country.
Yeah, why don't you know in 2000 who Michael J. Fox is?
I feel like she was just pulling your leg, hoping more things would fall out of your briefcase.
Really? Maybe. Yeah. And then
how could you not know?
But were they mean to? Were they like rough? And like, because I have a hard time seeing those guys as tough.
No, they're
like,
not.
Your guys are badass.
No, what they do here and what they do in almost everywhere, and everyone who has any asswipe who's in a position of authority. And if you think about it, who would be attracted to these sort of jobs? You know, meter maid, customs official, asswipes who can't be employed in the private sector.
Power hungry
asswipe. And they'll trade their $43,000 a year salary, which ain't much, for the power of fucking with people who, by the way, they're also ultimately pussies. They don't want to mess with anyone who poses an actual danger. They're not going to get on the crash unit for LAPD and go hit gang infested neighborhoods. They're just going to fuck with Whitey at the border, you know? So basically, I just said at a certain point, I was like, look, I'm not doing anything.
Fuck with Whitey at the Canadian border.
Yeah, I said, look, I'm not a criminal. I'm not a drug runner. I'm coming in here to do a little business for 3 days and I'll be gone. I'm going to drop off a little money to strip club and I'll be right out of your hair. And they did this thing where they're like, you talked back to us and now we're pissed off. And what I don't understand in life is everyone just does this thing where it's like, just suck it up and take it in the ass from some idiot who, by the way, you wouldn't have known in high school because they're too busy fucking popping their own zits and the whatever. Just take it up the ass from this guy for about 15 minutes and you can go scot-free. And my thing is always like, these guys allegedly work for us.
Yeah.
I didn't barge into his fucking living room and demand, you know, his old lady to blow me. I'm fucking trying to go into your country and spend some money. So, no, I'm not going to be the nicest guy in the world when you're being a prick to me.
Yeah.
And then so he took me to a separate office. And he told the guy behind the counter, get to him when you get to him. And then I just stood there and waited for like an hour. Ugh. There's no one in front of me. And I just went, fine, I'm being punished. Work.
Stand in the corner.
What? Right. I'm 35 years old. What the fuck are we doing with our lives here? Think about all the punishment that's meted out over nothing.
Yeah. I have a feeling the guy I just did, because I'm Canadian, I had to pass my driver's test here to get my license, and I failed. And clearly, I've been driving for 14 years. Speaking of power-hungry assholes, I'm driving fine and careful, speed limit, everything, doing everything fine. Clearly, I know how to drive. I didn't do any major mistakes. When we're finished, he sits me down, and I did 25 things wrong. Little, tiny little mistakes where a little bit of a line I crossed over.
Meanwhile, we know you drive. We know you can drive.
Yeah, I did 14 years, no accidents, knock on wood. And this guy, no, okay, you're going to have to come back. And he doesn't even look me in the eyes. He goes, okay, you know, you did everything fine. It was okay. He doesn't look me in the eyes. You're going to have to come back. Just book another appointment when you get in. And I'm just sitting there. I almost punched the guy in the face. Like, I could
whip
not.
Whip him with the antenna.
You're like, seriously? Seriously?
I like the way how easily people can just say to someone, just come back tomorrow. And like, what do you mean, just come back tomorrow? That's a day's work. This is the biggest hassle in the world. And by the way, Who do you think I'm going to turn into? Jackie Stewart tomorrow? Hold on, Donnie. You'd like that reference. The point is, I'm not going to turn into a fucking world-class F1 driver, Schumacher, tomorrow. I'll be the same guy I am today.
That's,
you know what? Brock should have addressed this in his fucking State of the Union, which is, listen, all the underling peons, who, by the way, we employ as a government, knock it off. Stop hassling your own.
Yeah.
Let me tell you who the enemy is. Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
Not the fucking guys trying to renew his driver's license, or the guys trying to get through customs, or the guys going to the airports, or the guy parking his car with his bumper hanging 4 inches into the red zone. Knock it off.
Yeah. Well, they never know. Maybe it's because I'm Canadian. They're thinking maybe I got some up to something. You never know, right? Yeah.
They did one of the bigger busts, basically terrorist busts, was coming through Canada.
Yeah. We got a lot of shit for that.
And no, but it worked. They were coming to blow up LAX.
Yeah.
And there was some, I think it was a chick who was working, although if it was anything like the chick who stopped me at customs, it was a little iffy on that. I mean, technically probably some fallopian tubing there, but that's about it. Okay. And she basically saw a guy driving through and didn't like the way the dude looked. Essentially, she looked at the dude and went,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. This dude is spidey sense tingling. Stopped the guy and found a bunch of, I don't know, explosives in the trunk. And I guess the guy was on the way to LAX to blow it up. Profiling.
Yeah.
That's evidently the best way to find terrorists is by behavior and by sight.
Yeah, but you can't have that, can you? Because then that's profiling. Yeah, and then where would we be?
And I'd also like to test that, like have me, someone like looks like me, like just walk up and be acting all really
weird. Oh, like
weird.
A bad driver.
And they'd be like, whatever, he's white and he's Canadian. Yeah. That's cool, you know. But I totally get it, you know. Yeah.
I don't know what the dude looked like, but the chick, and we need this. I mean, I don't think we can take it away from the law enforcement personnel, which is, if you got a bad vibe about somebody, you should be able to act on that as law enforcement. Like, I don't know if it's training. I don't know if it's just your central nervous system. I don't know if it's repetition. I don't know what it is. But if you see somebody who's passing through your checkpoint and they freak you out a little bit, pull them aside. And if the guy did nothing and there's nothing in the trunk, then so be it. I guess we got the dude. Oh, yeah. He's kind of...
That's what John Cicada's been up to.
He does got a little... That means Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he looks like... Come on. Like, you have better... He looks like a... He looks like one of the bad guys in, like, True Lies or something. Like,
right,
literally.
Yeah.
Like, that's the casting.
Scary dead eyes.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, too, is... Look, I've said this many times. When you're angry... You look angry. Like, there are guys out there that are they're walking around angry all the time. Eventually, your face will take the shape of what you're thinking. And we all know the dumb chick look. Like, you can tell dumb chicks. Like, they're not... And dumb dudes. They don't look like they're thinking about anything.
Yeah,
you know, if you ever go into a Hooters and just look at all the waitresses, you can tell they're not thinking about anything.
Yeah.
And there's the gay. There's when you've been thinking about cock too long, your face starts... No, there's a racist look. Yeah. There's like a stoner look. There's a rock and roll look.
My face doesn't really look like a vagina, though. And
no. Again,
no. Maybe is it starting a little bit?
Looking a little like a vagina? Yeah. Hold on, let's see. Purse your lips. Oh, yeah.
A little bit, right?
I mean, I can see.
You
can. No, I should see. I'm pretty sure I should see.
See, I felt like that was more like a balloon knot.
Yeah.
I'm just saying... If you're walking around thinking about blowing up the white devil for 20 years, eventually it's going to take a shape. Your face will take that shape. Your eyes, at least. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. However, there are probably so many people who walk around with that kind of face who don't ever act on it.
I know. And you know what? We got to check their trunks. And if there's nothing in it, moving on. It's going to take all of 5 minutes.
You got to give the devil his due. Nice cheekbones.
Yeah, he's a good looking cat.
Oh, good looking terror.
Also, like, I wonder if the Al Qaeda guys who have the nice skin and the nice striking cheekbones elect to go beardless. You know what I mean? Like, you wonder if like Sheik Ala Pakmar goes with the full beard. Like,
all right,
I got a double chin, a hair lip, and a really bad skin. I'm gonna go ahead and grow the beard. Yeah. And then the dude who was looking pretty good without the beard goes, you know what? I think I could slip by the Canadian authorities if I went without the big old beard.
But wait, in their culture, that it's hideous though. It's like the ugly guy with the deformed cheeks.
Like,
give
the
him
yeah, look how smooth his skin is. Gross.
See, I mean, that's the kind of guy you find on an online dating site.
Yeah.
Which is why I've given up. Like, I've seen 8 million of that guy.
T-date.
Like, I know some hipsters in Silver Lake that look way more terrorist-like than this guy does.
Yeah.
You know?
I have this theory. I don't know if you guys can dig this, but all countries where the guys have huge beards are all misogynist countries.
North Pole.
Because every essentially... Everybody, like, no wife likes the old man to really grow it out. So it's always like, ah, tickles. It can't go down on her. It's weird. It's like, I don't like to kiss you. You got food stuck in it. It smells funny. There's a woodpecker in it. Like, I don't like this. So, but all countries where they go like, hey, man, I'm growing a huge beard. So it's like, fuck you, old lady. Screw you.
Is it like man face burka?
Yeah, it's basically going...
The chin burka.
Yeah, it's like... it's essentially saying to the ladies, your vote does not count here. Saying to your wives...
Yeah.
Listen, I don't care how many are bothered by my horrible, big fucking bird's nest here. And by the way, we're not talking about James Brolin circa 1985. We're talking about just big old pube bush, you know? Just like... It's basically saying to the ladies, hey, screw you.
Yeah,
I don't care.
So, like, I'm that's like the hipsters in Silver Lake. What's their thoughts behind? Like, are they assholes that don't give a shit about women?
No, that is
they're like, I don't give a shit what I look like.
That is no, they're not fans of the ladies over there in Silver Lake. I should tell you that now, coming from Canada, number one, not a fan.
See, I need to learn these things.
Silver Lake, not a fan of the ladies.
Okay.
Number two, there's a sort of screw you to society. Like, there's two kinds of beards. Oh, there's three beards. There's I grow a beard because I like a beard.
Yeah.
There's I grow a beard because I have a weird double chin and I'm sort of trying to hide it. I'm going to make the best of it kind of beard. And then there's just, fuck it. I'm essentially Ted Kaczynski.
Yeah.
Isn't also the creative facial hair, though? Like, look, I've made like a chin strap scrolly thingy with the soul patch, and it takes like sculpting.
Yeah, there's the have no personality, but I will express it through the sculpture of the shit that's growing out of my chin.
Fuck you to the man.
Yeah, that's the tribal tattoo.
No, that
earring
is
dude,
that is
you
my
know?
Face says I'm creative.
Okay.
Versus. There's the guy, there's the biker beard where it's just like, fuck it.
I'm
an outlaw. My chin's an outlaw.
Yeah.
A sideburn. My upper lip's an outlaw.
Yeah, and I feel like
no prison can hold my upper lip.
Yeah, and if you got like a beer belly and a badass like Harley Davidson, like that's cool. Like that's like I don't give a fuck, but I'm a badass, don't give a fuck.
Right.
Like on ZZ Top.
Also, there's people who do and there's a lot of these people, sadly, which is I don't bring anything to the party. But I will always be known as weird beard guy.
Yeah.
Everyone at my work knows who I am. I'm not funny. I'm not tall. I'm not good looking. I'm not interesting. I'm not educated. I don't have opinions except for everyone knows me. Because they'll just go, you mean weird beard guy? And everyone go, yeah, that guy. There's people who like that attention, although they don't realize that we're all sort of laughing at them behind their back.
Yeah.
And I don't think it translates into an ounce of pussy.
Yeah. See, I feel like weird beard guy peaked in the 90s. Because speaking of an ounce of pussy, I accidentally, I dated a guy who had like weird beard thing happening and I was always embarrassed about it and it didn't last.
Were all your friends like, why are you dating weird beard guy?
They were like, he's cool, but what's up with his face?
Yeah, of course. I feel like that way about like people who have like very specific hats when I go out. I'm like, that's that weird hat guy. Like not a cap or anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, weird cap guys are weird. Everything. You're like, you're the hat
like
guy.
Like what kind of weird hat do you mean?
I don't know.
A fedora?
Yeah, fedoras and like those, you know.
Derbies and bowlers.
Yeah. Well, because it's a specific choice when you go out. You're like, I'm gonna be a hat guy tonight. Like that's a choice.
It's a cult of any time you cultivate something, then you get sucked into it. Then you have to kind of go that direction. You know what I mean? It's like it's one thing if you just announce I like rock music, but at a certain point you start dressing like you're in the band, and then you get the jewelry with the skulls on it, and yeah. before you know it, you're wearing the biker boots everywhere, and then before you know it, every fucking day is Halloween.
Yeah,
and like I always wonder about these guys. Like I just got to go down to the liquor store and get a pack of cigarettes. Hold up, put on the fucking pirate jewelry.
Where's my eyeliner?
You're missing your earring. Yeah. Where's your boots and leather pants? It's like. I love being flip flop sweatpants guy.
Yeah,
like I'm wearing slippers.
There you go.
I'm wearing slippers.
You're pretty dressed up today, though.
Well, I don't know if I mentioned this, but I shot a pilot. Earlier today, but yeah, I had to shave and put hair gel in. Did have one of these moments at Fox, which is went to the makeup, sat down for makeup, got the makeup put on, and then gave the so where's hair. Where's hair? Where's the hair department? Oh, we don't. They didn't. You know, you're working on a fucking pilot with a shitty budget. Where's hair? We didn't have hair. Oh, okay. So you're doing hair too? No. Well, do you have a little thing of like cream or pomade or something in your basket there? No. So there's no. Because I have weird. I've been wearing a beanie for 3 days, pube hair thing going, and I was planning on getting some shit in my hair before I went out on stage. Mm-hmm. No. Like, really? And I always want to say to the makeup chick, shouldn't you have to, like, by law, take one of those little canisters of the crew or whatever that shit is and just throw it in the fucking satchel just for this occasion? Yeah. And then you always get this thing. I got hand cream. And I'm like, all right. Give it over. And
really?
I used the Ultra Glide stuff. I used personal lubricant on my hair before.
Really?
How did that work?
Look at me. No, it's basically, here's the deal. Everything is essentially just petroleum jelly in life. Almost
but
everything.
That's water-based.
I know. But seeing as how... Everything you put in your hair is basically everything involved. Right. Here's what there is in life. There's alcohol. There's like rubbing alcohol, and then there's petroleum jelly, and then there's like essentially petroleum oil, and then they add color and scent and whatever. But it's all based on one of those three elements.
Elementary particles.
Or like, and then there's glycerin. And yeah, that's about it. And by the way, if it'll go on your cock, it'll go in your hair and anywhere in between your hair and your cock.
Now, for ladies, there's all sorts.
The last 3 minutes are white like moisture, Adam, by Adam, the way.
There's Adam Carolla's quantum mechanics.
Come out of hair.
Quantum mechanics.
There's all
Adam
sorts
Carolla.
Of silicone products
yeah.
that we put in our hair. So it's like a whole different class of
Well, either way,
that you could put on either.
This
of your-
chick had nothing in her bag except for some like Vaseline intensive care, whatever hand. So I just said, "All right, hand it over," and I just started dumping it in my hair.
Nice. Yeah.
And then later on, someone showed up with some crew shit. And by the way, that stuff's like rock hard, and you try to smear it in your hands, it rolls like silly putty, and then you put it on your hair, and you get a big white roll of it on there. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You gotta like it's kind of like a load of. Something.
You know,
like you can't, like, you know, when you get it in your hair, it's hard to get out, right?
Fuck yeah. I mean, it's better in your eye, but it's still
3-4 days.
Still.
How did the pilot go, by the way?
That seemed to go fine. Yeah. I never care anymore.
Yeah.
I just don't care. The other bad hair goo stuff is, I don't know if you guys feel my pain on this, poor Paul Bryan, is. The stuff you rub together, like you do this like a pomade-y kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I bought some stuff at Kiehl's. It was like 18 bucks. And I said, all right, everything Kiehl's makes is good. And that'll go good in my hair. And I bought this shit at Kiehl's. And it's got kind of a creamy, gooey kind of whatever. My hair is like a big patch of pubes. So it needs to drink it up. So you scoop your hand in. You rub your hands together. And then as you go to rub it into your hair, it spider webs and drapes down on your face because it gets the little weird... Hair, you can't pull your hands apart without it doing the weird
cat's cradle
action. And so as you do on your hair, you realize there's stuff dripping down.
Is it called like liquid hair nets?
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but it's a horrible fucking product. You're like, someone should have worked this shit out.
That's disgusting.
And $18. You figure $18 would be good, right? I figure any hair product, when it's over $15, I'm like, this is going to be good.
Oh, right. Gentlemen. Yes. You have so wrong? Much to learn.
Yes,
they're almost the same. The cheap ones even smell better.
No, I know.
You've been paying through the nose for salon products when really you could be using drugstore products.
Thank you, John Stossel. I know. I get in this argument. I get in the Pantene argument with my wife all
the
time.
What does she use?
Well, every time you turn on one of those John Stossel reports or whatever, where they do the consumer, whatever, they try to figure out if the expensive shampoo or the expensive anything right. is better than the whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's always sort of the same active ingredient. And by the way, you know what's coming because they wouldn't do the special if it turned out the expensive shit was that much better.
Yeah.
The $2.99 Suave is as good as the $18.99 whatever. And I always report this to my wife and she always says, I don't care, which is...
Maybe she likes the packaging. That's what you can always say about makeup. Like, well, I like the packaging.
There's a lot in the package and there's a lot in the scent. You don't realize like how that fucking digs into you. Like there must be some Canadian smell you have, John.
Maple? Yeah, the smell of maple and snow and, sadness.
It would bring you back, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
What about caribou?
Poutine. You guys know what poutine is? Fries
and gravy right?
and cheese.
That's, oh, really?
That smells like Canada, baby.
Wow. That's what killed John Candy.
Yeah.
Poutine.
Oh, you had never. Oh, man. You got to try this stuff. They have some.
Wait a minute. It isn't Pantene that we're talking about, right? It's poutine.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, there you go.
It's got curds and stuff.
Oh, it's horrible. Like it's horrible for you. But this is why I run on the treadmill, listen to your podcast because I eat way too many of these.
Do you make your own poutine out here?
No. There's one place that actually serves it at Animal on Fairfax. They have like a high class one, but you need like the cheap shit. This would cost you about $3,
mm-hmm.
and it's delicious when you're wasted at 3 in the morning.
Oh, right.
It's 3 in the morning food.
Right.
Where you wake up the next day and go, what did I do last? Oh, I had the poutine at 4 a.m.
Right.
You know.
Your telltale gravy stain on your T-shirt.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse. Because it's nothing worse than the calories that you didn't remember.
Yeah.
I always say it's horrible. You ever have this thing where you're kind of trying to watch your weight, but okay, you cut yourself a piece of cake or pie or something like that. You're in the kitchen. You take your first bite and the phone rings. And it's like you're on the phone and you look down at the pie and you're talking to the person. And the next thing you know, you're sort of picking away at the pie while you're talking to the person.
Yeah.
And then you hang up 10 minutes later and you look down and the fucking pie's gone.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck, I just ate this piece of pie talking to my goddamn mom about nothing. And I have no recollection, nor did I get any satisfaction from eating this pie because I was fucking talking to my mom.
Yeah. No, it's I do that. Yeah, all, poutine, well, I do that more alcohol. But yeah, being on
poutine
the phone.
Poutine regret.
Oh, all the time. And I mean, on tour as a comedian, like you know, you go out after shows and stuff and I'll wake up sometimes with. And
poutine
you don't have
tang.
Like all the stores or the Taco Bell's closed, so you go to like 7-Eleven buy like hot dogs and the bologna sandwiches, and you wake up the next morning with just chip bags and bologna sandwiches there. And
the 1-2 punch of that is when you do a show and then you do a late show and then you're getting out of the club. And it's like 12:30 at night, and you realize you didn't really eat because. Yeah. Your first show is at 8:00 and you just don't want a big meal at 7:00 because no one wants to go out on stage, especially if you're going to do 2 shows and be out there like, you guys might have been losing my belt just a little bit here. Like there's no worse. You know that feeling, that like Thanksgiving feeling?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is there anything other than fucking stand up? You know what I mean? Like no one wants to fucking stand there and do 2 shows with that Thanksgiving feeling.
Yeah.
So you do that thing where you go, all right, and then you get out of the club and it's like 12:30 at night and you get back to the hotel and it's like 1 a.m. and everything's closed. And you realize I didn't really eat anything and you got a buzz because you drank a few free beers over at the club. And then you go, I wonder what's in that mini bar. Now you got the same fucking gross Toblerone hangover except for you're out. $26.
And there's orange dust under your nails.
Yeah, you just ate some shit. Yeah, that little can of mixed nuts set you back $11. You're like, fuck, I don't remember eating that.
Yeah, and if you're going to go for it, you might as well be good shit. Like, you're not choosing.
Right.
You're just like looking there, you go, well, this is the whatever. You know,
yeah, you start talking yourself into those giant steroid cashews they have in there.
Yeah. I was at the Zany's in Nashville, and I, in between the first and second show, I ate half half a pizza and got on stage, and I had vertigo at the time. And I do about
what do you mean you had vertigo at
well
the time?
I had a bit of vertigo from like my you know, my sinuses when I was flying. Something got fucked up, and like I was kind of had a bit of vertigo, and it made me a little nauseous. And I wasn't thinking. I had half a pizza, get up on stage, Sandy's 15 minutes into my set. I do about like an hour. 15 minutes in, I start panicking because I think I'm going to be sick because like the vertigo and the entire time I was sweating bullets standing there. I'd make crack jokes to the audience. Hey, by the way, you know, I'd pretend like, oh, I drank and like smoked weed, like so that, you know, and I'm like, oh, you know, hey, if I run off the stage or if I puke, just ignore it, you know, and I'm like kind of joking around. 45 minutes and it kept like just it would ease away and I'd be like, okay, now I'm good. And then start moving around. All of a sudden, oh shit, I'm going to barf again.
Right.
And I got off stage and I ran to the condo that they have for comedians. And I just puked the entire piece as soon as I got off stage. And how amazing would that have been if I just puked on stage?
Yeah.
I think that's a better story. Like if I puked on stage, right?
Yeah.
Way better story. This is kind of,
have to puke on somebody.
Yeah.
In like, you know, in the front row.
You ever puked on someone?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I have. I was in high school. Yeah, the reason I know this is, well, yeah, I puked on John Tyler in high school because, yeah, he grew up down the street from me when I was in high school and remember it well.
Oh, John Tyler.
John Tyler. Well, I'll give you the dude's name.
Yeah.
A couple things funny
what's
about the
last name?
Puke story.
No, it was,
thank
never
you.
Mind.
Oh, it was a joke. No, please tell me if you're going to kid.
Yeah.
Okay. The point is this. Where was I?
Why are you interrupting me?
I wait a minute.
You do not interrupt me!
How do you get there so quick? I've always wondered about that. He's on it,
yeah.
Man.
Thanks, dude. Yeah. Don't we have a certain few? Isn't Laura Keitlinger? She have an explanation there?
How about leaving the jokes to Adam?
Oh, my God.
Okay. So,
how about you leave the joking to Adam?
Now, John was a couple years older than me, and I was like 15 or 16, and there was a little peer thing going on. And, the weekend before, he'd got some, like, Henry's Weinhardt's Private Reserve, and we're chugging them in his kitchen. And because of the carbonation in the beer, I just couldn't, like, chug it. Like, I was, like, bubbling in my nose and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I said, listen, I don't mind the alcohol. I can hold my booze like any 15-and-a-half-year-old, but it's the carbonation. The following weekend, our buddy Chet had worked at the AMPM market on the corner, and he ripped off one of those big glass jugs of like Boone's Farm white wine or something. Just bad, you know, the little handle you put your thumb through and stuff. It's like a big glass, cheap Chardonnay thing. And they took it back, and it was like a Friday night, and he said, all right, this doesn't have bubbles in it. And I was like, hey, dumb. So imagine taking white wine and essentially dumping the white wine into a tumbler, just cheap white wine, sweet, cheap white wine, filling a glass with it. Well, you could drink it as fast as you could. Like, you couldn't do it with vodka, and you couldn't really do it with beer, but cheap, sweet white wine was sort of like Gatorade or something, apple juice. And I was just like, gunk, 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 fill her up again. And I'm like, gunk, gunk, gunk.
Oh,
and I'm
God.
Like, gunk, 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 no problemo. No problemo, because it went down very easily. Yeah. Well, it came back up fairly easily, too. We got in the back of a VW Squareback, and the reason I remember it is John had two sweaters that were exactly the same, except for they were like the same cut, V-neck, everything else. One was red, one was blue. He gave me the blue one, and he put the red one on, and we went out to party. We're going to the park, and we're going to like get high, and then we're going to go to the broomball game that the girls were playing against each other on the ice. It's a long story. Before we got there, on the way home from the park, I was sitting in the back seat of the VW, and I just leaned over to John, and I just went, I think I'm blah. And I yacked all over John. And ironically, all over both sweaters, which I took out two of his sweaters because I was wearing one and he was wearing the other. And later on, I was able to crawl up my driveway and sleep on my driveway until the morning hours.
Yeah.
And then I remember two things the following day. I had bits of gravel in my cheeks. because I slept on our, mm-hmm. our asphalt driveway, which was sort of falling apart. And my eyelids were actually bloodshot from heaving. Like, I had heaved. I had yacked so powerfully that I'd blown out my eyelids.
Oh,
like, essentially
good.
Broken all the vessels in my eyelids from, like, like, I mean, it's like if somebody said, try to take a shit for 5 minutes straight as hard as you can, your eyelids would eventually get blown out.
Yeah, I love how innocent we are at that age when we're like, we can actually put this in our mouths and swallow it. Let's keep doing that.
Right.
Yeah, and then you have to do it at least once to learn your lesson.
But no hangovers at that age.
No, really? No, I was...
Did
I
you
was,
have one?
Oh, yes, I was badly.
Really?
I was bad. But I'm now 46, and I'm drinking tonight. And that's the point to the kids. It's a little something called grit. I'm not one of these pussies who goes, I learned my lesson.
Yeah.
I absolutely did not learn my lesson. Yeah. I vomited many more times.
Let's get a cheap bottle of white wine in this bitch.
We're going
right
out.
Now.
We're
right
going
now.
Out. I'm telling you, I've been then thrown up because of booze at least 40 times since then. And by the way, Drew is always sickened by that statistic.
Oh, God.
Sickened. Although I always say in my defense, half the time I did it to myself just to go to bed, which doesn't help in his department. But
I've puked one time. It was remarkable. I was out at a cottage with my buddies, and every day we'd wake up just hungover as hell. You know that feeling where you're like, there's no way I'm drinking today. And you just force it down. You're like, you know what? It's sunny. It's 11 a.m. We have all this alcohol. And you just start going again and just forcing yourself to accept it. And after 2-3 vodkas, you know, you're good. You're good. And I did this 4 or 5 days in a row, and I just alcohol poisoning one day. My body just was like, you know, dude, you know what you're doing to your body? I'm not allowing this anymore. And I puked for 24 hours straight. Just,
really?
And you know that feeling, that great feeling after you puke?
Yeah.
Like, you puke and you're like, okay, that's done.
Yeah.
I'm good now.
Check that off the list.
I had that I'm good feeling for about a minute and a half, and then right back to that, oh no, like for 24 hours straight. I could have died.
The worst feeling on the planet, whether it's sort of a self-imposed, you know, vodka-related puke or it's a flu puke, is that moment where it crops up again.
Yes.
Because there's that moment you purge. It's like you put your face over the toilet, you heave your guts out, and you pop your head up, and you have that sweet relief. You know, there's that moment of like, bullet dodged.
Yeah.
All right, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. And somehow, in like the next 15 to 20 minutes, you'll feel like, okay, I fit. Okay. All right. And then you stop thinking about it for a minute and you sit on the sofa and you're like watching TV and you get a little, what was that? And that was a little, that little feel, little something coming back. And you're like, oh, that's not the big. And then 20 minutes later, you're in full blown. I got to puke again
that's
mode.
Just the beginning.
But what, that little inkling, just that little, it's coming back.
Yeah. You know what's coming. As soon as you feel that, you know what's 15 minutes down the road. It is the worst.
I just, we talked about, we just did a podcast over at Dr. Drew's place. Allison's very jealous, but
I can't believe you didn't bring me, even not to do news, just to sit at the foot of the bed.
Just to hang out.
Yeah.
Just a rifle through his midway drawer.
I would never. I would never. I would just sit there with my hands crossed and I'd say, thank you for bringing me.
The thing, the thing that's the turn on about Drew is the reason you can't have him. You see, the ladies
You're just
love.
Torturing me.
No, but ladies love Drew because, you know, he's the silver fox and all that kind of stuff. But really, the reason they love him is because he's so dedicated to his wife and he's such a dedicated family man and he loves his kids and he's so responsible and all that shit. That's, you know, if he was Mickey Rourke, you could have him, but you don't want him. See what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, no. If ever there was a moment where actually I had the opportunity to have him, then I wouldn't like him at all because it would just dash my. Pedestal.
Yeah,
I'd put
him
on.
It'd be really weird. It'd be really weird to have Dr. Drew like.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, man, don't be all lascivious.
My wife's
Drew.
Visiting one of my kids in the hospital, but I only got time for a blowjob.
I feel like I like him in a platonic way, though. And I don't mean platonic like just friends. I mean like the true ideal of liking someone.
Those panties would disintegrate if Drew ever snapped his fingers. He just yeah. He could actually.
Yeah. You're lying.
Is that how you feel around him?
He could actually just yell at your vagina, chop chop, and point at his cock. And
but he wouldn't.
Jump. It would leap.
No,
onto
he would just
it, like
look at me
dog.
With that look of compassion, like.
He does have the sad face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'd be like,
she's turned on.
When the model was molested, he has that. Yes, when the model was molested on a show. Face.
Always, no matter what. And I could be like, I'm having a bad hair day. And I feel like he'd look at me with that, like, that must be hard.
Yeah. I feel your follicle pain.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about a good news day? Yeah. Is
I
that
would
a
love
good
to
transition?
Have one. Yeah. It, oh, I mean, it's the bestest.
Yeah.
And now, the rest of the news. With Allison Rosen.
So, John, I'll tell you, I'm looking for a good outro for my segment. So if anything comes to you, not yet, tell me during the... Okay, so...
What was wrong with mine from last night?
Zip it, cunt?
Yeah, I like that
Yeah.
One.
It's good.
That was the news with that, Allison Rosen.
Yeah.
Okay. An Arizona restaurant received...
No comment.
Yeah.
An Arizona restaurant received death threats when it announced its plan to sell tacos made from lion meat. Brian Mazin, owner of Boca Tacos and Tequila in Tucson, says the restaurant and his family, customers, and vendors received threats since he began taking prepaid orders for the exotic tacos. He was going to be charging $8.75 a piece. The eatery
sounds reasonable for a lion taco, doesn't it?
Why death threats for that? It sounds cheap, actually.
It sounds cheap for lion meat.
The eatery has also served python, alligator, elk, kangaroo, rattlesnake, oysters.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Oysters, turtle, duck, frog, and frog leg tacos.
Maybe it was like his accountant calling and threatening him. I'm going to kill you if you sell that for $8.75.
Right? Maybe it's that. Yeah.
Right.
Maybe
they'll make
Murray.
A killing.
Yeah. So evidently, you can sell lion meat if there was enough lions and it's like raised and slaughtered and whatever.
But like, don't we hear like all the time that lions are an endangered species and stuff like that? Are there like, hey, let's not make lion tacos, guys? Like,
I don't know how it works. Other than to me, whatever tastes the best, we should eat. Like,
you would eat lion.
Well, here's the thing: it's a cultural thing, obviously. I mean, it's like religion. When you see all the little nutty kids being dragged up and down Fairfax Boulevard with their stupid dads and the Al-Qaeda beards and the payos and the black hats, it's the middle of fucking July and they're wearing a black duster and a black hat, and they realize, okay, you guys are fucking nuts. And the kids, by the way, are being abused, but that's how they're being raised. They're being raised by Hasidic Jews, and that's fine, and that's what they know. And magically, that kid will have all the values that a Hasidic Jew has. And then if Shirley Phelps raised you, you'd have all the shitty values that they have. And if you're raised by an atheist or you're raised in the Cala whatever Bush, then that would be how you were. So
you're raised by someone who eats lions.
But this is Arizona.
Right. I'm saying we eat cows and we eat chickens, and there's certain fish we eat, and there's certain things, you know, certain things in the sea we eat and certain things we don't eat. It's all just becomes a sort of cultural thing. Like a lobster is a pretty weird thing to eat unless you grow up next to a Sizzler and there's some surf and turf for $9.99 and then it seems pretty normal to eat lobster.
Yeah, I don't like, I'm very like much, I don't like people who don't eat certain animals because they think that, oh no, you don't eat a horse. A horse is a, like, shut up. A cow is a beautiful animal.
On the,
a cow's like, whatever. Like, it's just, you're not used to seeing horses in movies being eaten.
I have argued on the sort of majestometer that swordfish is a much more majestic beast than many birds and many other things with four legs that we don't eat here. Do you know?
They live
like,
underwater.
Than a dog, for instance. Like, people would be appalled at us eating a dog, but there's millions of dogs and half of them are fucking no good. And, well, they just chew up shit and shit everywhere. Yeah. And when's the last time a marlin shit up your yard?
Yeah.
You ever step in marlin shit?
Never.
Answer me.
Never.
Okay. That's right. It's not like, oh, man, I was jogging in the park, fucking brand new pair of tennis shoes, stepped in marlin shit.
It's never like, oh, he must smell my marlin on me.
Yeah.
That's why
they never make that.
Know,
yeah, with a snout in your crotch.
Yeah.
It's never, no one had a problem with a swordfish.
No, it's because we don't see them every day. They're in the ocean, and so who cares? You
know?
We see dogs
every day.
We should
love them, not eat them.
But I'm just saying, I know it seems insane to eat a koala bear, but...
That's where I draw the line.
But what the fuck is the difference with a koala? I mean,
it has two thumbs and eats eucalyptus.
And then I eat it. All right, I'm just
that
saying.
That makes you like a vegan.
By the way, has anyone done the koala bear shit math? Because they're a bear in a tree. I mean, it's one thing to get, you know, shit on by
they're
marsupial, Adam.
A sparrow.
They're marsupial. Who didn't have sex in high school? Duh. That'd be Brian and me.
Yeah. All right. Well, they got the word bear in their name.
Oh, my God. Look how cute.
All right, listen. That's adorable. They're big enough to provide a decent-sized load of shit on you. You know what I mean?
Calves are adorable,
too. Have you been underneath a koala bear that shit on you?
First off, it's only a matter of time. The day
like
is young.
Owl shit
we're
is
counting
more
down
of a peril.
The days.
I'm just saying, whereas you would look at it as a pleasure, maybe have some sort of sick sexual fetish about being shat upon by a koala
I'm into
bear.
Scat and koala. Scat involving koalas.
Koala
that's my thing.
Porn.
I'm saying
I'm totally
whether it's cockatiels or koala bears, if we have enough of them, we should be able to eat them.
Brilliant.
Well, what's the deal? Yeah. You know what I mean? What's the difference between a cow and a horse?
I think you eat all, if you don't eat any animals and you're like, okay, that's cool. You're putting all animals in the same boat. But if you eat some, but some are cute, so you don't eat them, it's like, fuck
it's
you.
It's essentially what it is. It's like the ladybug versus the silverfish.
Right.
Like you see a ladybug in your kitchen, like, oh, good luck. You see a silverfish, like, get the fucking slipper.
Kill it.
What the fuck?
No one's ever been
fucked with by silverfish and no one's had any favors done by a ladybug. Like, that dude's cool. He scored for me.
Yeah.
Like, there's none of that. They all do nothing. We're so aesthetically oriented. I mean, poor roaches and silverfish, they look shitty, so they get fucked with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the difference between a fucking mouse and a gerbil or a hamster. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I used to
pass a store that sold French rack of kangaroo.
Because
apparently that's how you'd get it, I guess.
You eat kangaroo?
No, I wouldn't.
That's a marsupial, dude.
I would. No, and plus they box. That's what kangaroos do. I would never. I used to pass by and think, oh, gross.
Yeah.
Okay, so meanwhile, Taco Bell has been accused of misrepresenting its meat. A law firm has slapped the fast food chain with a lawsuit for false advertising. What Taco Bell calls seasoned beef is actually less than 35% beef, which is lower than the Department of Agriculture standards to be labeled beef. The other 65% is water, soy, lecithin, maltodextrin, silicone dioxide. That's what gives it its flavor.
Sure.
Anti-dusting agent, modified cornstarch, and other non-beef things.
Yeah, but isn't this a good thing overall?
Probably.
Like, you know, wouldn't you rather just be, if your kid had a choice between eating what Taco Bell could afford as 100% beef for its 21-cent tacos, or 35% beef, and then the rest would be like cornstarch and some other fillers. Like, better they should just eat that, right? I'm just saying.
I don't think
you're going to get a horrible cut of 100% beef from Taco Bell,
or a horrible cut of 35% beef plus silicone.
Which is probably the case.
I wonder.
I mean, who cares? What I think, but
for your heart,
okay,
and your arteries. I'll bet you that you'd be better off eating the Taco Bell beef that doesn't have that much beef, but a bunch of other gluten and fillers and whatever in terms of just fat coursing through your veins.
Yeah.
Than the it's not filet mignon or Taco Bell. It's Taco Bell's version of.
Yeah.
Right. Probably.
Because there are probably like a bunch of antibiotics in the beef and all that nasty shit and like all that. So I don't know. I mean, you know,
regardless,
it's terrible for you, but you know.
It's a labeling
issue.
This
does answer my question that I've been asking for a million years, which is how is it a Taco Bell taco was, you know, 25 cents 25 years ago and, you know, gas, cars, homes, everything at minimum wage, everything's gone up tenfold, and a Taco Bell's gone up 6 cents. Like, the fucking taco has not moved. It really isn't. I mean, really, like, seriously, I've gone into Taco Bell with $5 and went, like, give me 3 soft tacos, 2 bean burritos, and 2 quesadillas, and had the guy give me, like, $2.81 change. Like, it's like, it's insane.
Yeah, it's very reliable currency. Instead of buying gold, you should buy tacos.
The tacos
from Taco Bell.
That's right. Put them in a safe deposit box.
Yeah.
No, overseas. That's right. An account overseas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Taco account.
I like Taco Bell. I like it better than Del Taco.
Why?
I think it tastes better.
Say it a lot.
My friends would have some words for you.
Really?
And they'd sound like this. Why?
I order the same thing every time. I get the bean burrito, and I tell them to put the tomato and extra onion in there. I like the tomato mixed in. It makes me feel like I'm getting a food group, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, as you're paying, there's a guy yelling, "It's ready." Yeah. You're like, "I haven't got my change back yet. I'm still feeding my pennies into that weird thing that they always have, some kind of thing where you can give back to the community or something. Yeah, you're feeding the pennies into that thing.
Yeah.
And the thing's ready on the other side." Oh, fuck yeah.
God, you give your special blood. You feed your special pennies. And,
by the way, is a the day I dropped a fucking nickel into a meter, into a parking meter, and it went back 2 minutes. That's the day I went, fuck it. Where I actually was two minutes younger.
Yeah,
like, now you go into a decent part of LA and you fill, you just put a dime in a parking meter and an arm will come out and punch you in the nuts. Like, it's like, you don't get, you don't get 8 minutes for
go
that.
Fuck yourself,
it's like, go fuck yourself. So when the parking meter decides what coins are worth, it really does. And when you can't get 10 minutes, like if a coin won't buy you 10 minutes, fuck it. It ain't worth going in the ashtray of your car. Give it to the retarded kids.
I throw pennies out sometimes.
So
I feel like
it?
A real asshole. Yeah. Or just weird.
What the fuck?
But I don't want
why
them.
Are we still making
you're not it's not, you're not a bad person, but I'm on top of the Empire State Building. Allison, please.
I also dropped a pound of feathers and a pound of bowling balls to see which is heavier.
Fell at the same rate?
Yep.
All right, so pennies, not worth anything anymore. And actually, I think they cost us more to mint.
Yeah, I heard they were stopping the whole penny thing.
Like, there's no way anything costs less than a penny. So the making of a penny. It couldn't cost less than a penny.
Yeah.
Oh, cost. Value.
Yeah, and also, it's not copper anymore. We could bring a lawsuit against them, too, just like the beef and Taco Bell. Nickel, that ain't good for shit anymore, either. Trying to, like, open shit for that flathead screwdriver.
The only time a nickel is good is when you're looking for exact change, and you're like, God damn it, why don't I have any nickels?
It's pretty much quarter and above. And again, out here...
Dimes are good, though, because they're dense. Like, if you have a sack... Mm-hmm. of quarters or a sack of dimes,
mm-hmm.
I think you can actually have more dime money for the same size, if
this
that makes
would,
sense.
Oh, yeah. This would be a nice time for me to tell you guys about a new show we're launching on the Ace Broadcasting Network.
It's all about change.
It's called Jewing It Up with Allison Rosen. It's going to be Friday night.
Zip it, cunt.
She's going to explain how dimes. What's the difference between dimes and nickels? all right.
Wouldn't it be Jewing It Down?
Yeah, I'd be Jewing It Down. That's the twist.
Oh.
That's the twist. All right, John, let's give your shit a little plug. Shall we?
Yeah, let's do it.
First off, I should say that the series, The League, third season picked up, airs on FX, right?
Yes. Got
that one down.
Yes.
New comedy album, by the way, I Kill People, currently on top of the iTunes chart.
It's up there. It's not up on top there. Of it. It's it's climbing the mountain, but it kind of stopped halfway, and it was like, all right, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And where do we go if we want to go to your website?
It's johnlajoie.com, which is hard to say. It's JohnLajoie.com. I mean, you could just go on YouTube and put my name in, or write "Show Me Your Genitals" or "Everyday Normal Guy." Oh, there
Lajoie. Oh, that's it. Yeah. That's the video.
So just go to YouTube's easy place to find me.
All right, where the hell were we? Well, Brian, any plugs? You doing all right?
Film Ball comes out on Friday. Check it out on the Ace Broadcasting Network.
All right. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Bald Brian, John Lajoie.
Thanks for having me.
Not bad, huh? And Allison Rosen saying, mahala.
And that was John Lajoie, very talented, back in 2011 when he sat down with Adam and Brian.
He doesn't do many interviews or anything anymore, but it'd be cool to have him back on the show.
Agreed. All right, we have another clip, but before we get into that, I want to remind everybody, please subscribe to Corolla Classics, the podcast, and enjoy tomorrow's episode. We release a new episode every Sunday as well, so you can double up on your Corolla Classics and enjoy us for the entire weekend. Now,
and this next clip's actually going to be a crossover, so you'll hear half of it today and half of it tomorrow, and if you're not subscribed, you're not going to hear the second half.
That's right. All right, so this one is a request from Sanja42 on Instagram, slid into our DMs and wrote, "Love Corolla Classics. Can you please play the episode where Artie Lang and his partner from their DirecTV show came on? That was one of the funniest episodes ever. Adam also tells the story of ghosting the radio show because Bonaducci resigned and referred to him as a macaw hiding in your house. Great stuff. Keep doing the Lord's work. Thank you." Well, this is a extended clip, so that's why we had to split it up. But we got you.
They're here for the whole episode. So Artie Lang and Nick DiPaolo promoting their DirecTV show, which was like a multimedia live video feed, kind of a podcasty radio show type thing. This is back from February of 2012. It's Artie Lang, Nick DiPaolo, Allison Rosen, Brian Bishop, Adam Carolla Show, 766. And the weirdest part about this is not only has Adam turned down the Stern job, and everyone's well documented for people who are fans, we know what happened, all the details, and that ended up with Artie Lang getting the job. And then, of course, Entourage, where Adam was asked to guest star, and Baby Doll turned it down without asking because he was too busy. And then Artie Lang got that job. This DirecTV deal Adam revealed on air was actually offered to him first.
Yeah.
So there's three huge jobs that Adam got for Artie Lang. That's crazy. But this is a hilarious episode. It's great they're in for the whole entire time. And once again, Adam Carolla giving Artie Lang another job.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. And welcome to the program. Good day, Bald Brian.
I want lots of money. I need it.
Good day, Allison Rosen.
Hello, Adam Carolla.
And good to see Artie Lang and Nick DiPaolo here.
Hey,
good to see you guys.
Man, what's up?
The Nick and Artie Show weeknights from 10 p.m. Probably don't need the word from in there. Just 10 p.m.
Cut that out, yeah.
10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern. How's it going?
Great. Yeah, well, you know, we're out here on a West Coast swing of promotion, a promotional mm-hmm. tour, and it's we did your show and Conan O'Brien.
Radio sucks at the beginning, doesn't it? Doesn't everything, I mean...
For me, it was at the end of my last...
Well, yeah, sorry.
The beginning, sorry. It was like a renaissance for me.
Yeah. No, new partners, timing...
Right.
Clocks.
Yeah.
Reps.
I know.
It's worse than fucking, even, in terms of how bad you are at the beginning. You know that thing where you think you're just going to sit down and something's going to happen right. And nothing really happens?
Yeah, there's a lot of, ow, that hurts, ow.
Yeah.
Because we've been friends a long time, and, you know, did the road together, doing stand-up, and we always make each other laugh, and a coffee shop, a diner. Those first couple of nights we're on the air going, I don't know this person.
Or, yeah, exactly.
What are we going to say funny or anything interesting? And then, you know, a few days later, forget about it, man. We're like Abbott and Costello.
So much of radio is repetition. So much. Maybe more so than almost any other form of entertainment. Just reps. Most of the guys in radio aren't funny.
Right.
But they have reps. And if you take a really funny, talented guy and you just set him down with no reps,
yeah.
He's going to get his ass kicked by a super unfunny guy who's been doing it. It's like, I've been unfunny for 15 years, buddy. Working in every major city in this country,
right.
Being unfunny, and he'll kick the shit. And program directors, they don't have the sort of Bill Belichick mentality of, this guy's a raw talent, we'll develop him,
yeah.
We'll work with it. It's more like,
that's right.
I've seen 10 minutes, that's enough.
Right.
Give me ass crack and back sack in the morning.
That's it.
The greatest story I have ever heard.
Danny Bonaducci,
I can tell
right there. Awesome.
That must have been fun with him.
Oh.
When you that was balls, you know. I got to give you credit. When they made him your co-host, you just stopped going into the Adam Carolla show.
Well, I gave it a shot, and then I stopped coming in. And there's a couple things. First off, my agent, James Baby Doll Dixon.
I know Jimmy.
Yeah, we know
Jimmy
Jim
represented
Dixon.
Me for a while.
He's
That's how
awesome.
I got this jacket.
yeah, sweet.
Rambo.
He would tell me, you know, because I had a big contract, I was getting paid a lot of money, and I was just saying, I can't do it. I cannot do it anymore, you know, because the thing about Bonaducci is Bonaducci at midnight when you're drunk is tolerable.
Right.
But you got to be really fucked up, and it's got to be really late, and the bar's got to be really loud.
But even then, it's only for 15 minutes.
Oh, it's a couple minutes at a time. He tells you one story about punching somebody,
right.
And then you go say you got to go to the bathroom.
Exactly.
But Bonaducci at 5:58...
Oh,
every
yeah,
single morning.
Ooh. Oh, God.
Just the room is thick with acts. He's been doing shit. Seeing a guy, you know, guys who work out in cowboy boots?
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Like guys doing chin ups, wearing tight jeans and wearing belt buckle and stuff. Like the guys who are working out in non workout apparel annoys you.
The kind of energy where, like, I did stand up. At the Tower Theater in Philadelphia once, and he was a radio guy there for a while.
Yeah.
And the promoter doesn't give me this tidbit of information, that Bonaducci's going to do a set before I go up.
Sure.
Okay?
Who's material?
he's bombing. He bombed for like an hour and 10 minutes. He's one of those guys that has so much energy, he doesn't realize what he's doing isn't amazing.
Right.
And he just keeps going. And the crowd, he's losing the crowd. So it's like, and then he just hands me, I got to dig out of an 80-foot hole.
Yes.
And he's just got that blind energy where everything he's doing is great. They like what I'm saying. I like what I'm saying. Everything's fine. But it's not fine. You're losing control of reality. And I wanted to strangle a promoter because it was just a nightmare. Well, so you lived that on the radio. I couldn't even imagine.
How long, Adam?
6 a.m. 6 a.m. That started at 6 a.m.
Right.
At for 1 year.
Oh, Jesus.
And then when we came back, it was one of those, you know, radio guys are horrible. And listen, I don't even, I mean.
We keep going back to that theme.
Well, I don't even mind Danny personally. It was just a shitty fit. It was not the right fit. And so I kind of gave Danny the look. We're two lead guitarists in the same band.
Analogy. Rat poison.
We need you to play a hollowed out fish over there in the corner. Remember what Tracy used to do in your show?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yes. Remember in the Partridge Family, the little redhead girl that just played the tambourine,
right.
Where the actual metal of the bells were glued together, so it wouldn't make any sense. That's what we need you to do. So I was like, no, but. Seriously, like, you need to go do your own show, and I need to go do my own show. We're both doing our own show on top of each other.
We need to never see each other again.
We're two tops. We need a bottom in this.
We're
in this
doing that right
cell.
Now.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, so two tops never work.
Right. So I said to the guys at the radio, I said, look, I don't. Yeah, there it is. I said, I don't really want to. I just can't do this anymore. And they're like, we hear you. And I was like, I can't.
We hear you.
If you sign Danny, I can't do this again. Right. And they're like, yeah, no, we're not. We don't think we're going to sign Danny. So just go ahead and sign up for another couple of years. And I said, but really, I can't work with Danny. And they said, yeah, no, we hear you. Now sign up for another 2 years. And I signed up for another 2 years. And then a week later, it's like, well, Danny signed his contract. Oh. When do we get to work? And radio guys are so fucking stupid. Like, look, taking a guy who doesn't want to work with another guy and shoving him in the same broom closet for 4 hours every morning is not a great plan.
It's just blatant lies to
yeah,
it. So how long do they think they're going to get away with that?
I just, and then they threw it in my face. Hey, you signed your contract. Why would you sign your contract if you didn't? And I was like, I told you guys 80 times. And James Baby Doll Dixon said, baby, just pretend he's not there, baby doll.
I thought, baby doll.
Just there he is.
That's what I'll do. Marlboro Red.
Classic Dixon.
Every morning I'll pretend like he's not there. I remember I said to him, how about I let a wild macaw loose in your house, and you just pretend that giant parrot isn't there. Sometimes you'll fling open the shower curtain, it'll be there. Like flapping around. And other times you won't see it for days. And other times you open your closet and it'll attack you. But you know what? Pretend he's not there.
Right, yeah.
I said, are you fucking nuts? I can't do that. So I did something that was smart. I just stayed home.
Right.
And the smarter...
That's the move.
But here's the real move. They started calling Dixon. And Dixon started calling me.
Right.
And I wouldn't answer the phone. Because I didn't want Dixon to tell them, baby, I talked to him. He's a little upset, but don't worry. He'll be in. I wanted that air of, I don't know where he is. He's not picking up the phone kind of thing. Artie, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't take it that far. But I said, at a certain point, Kimmel started calling.
Right.
And I said, I didn't pick up the phone for him either because I knew he'd call Dixon. Eventually, Kimmel came to my house.
You're becoming the Unabomber.
I know. He came to my refrigerator box.
Wow.
I was working on my manifesto. And
how big
government.
Was your beard at this point?
It was, you know, it was Santa Claus-esque. Yeah, and he,
somewhere between Santa and Galifianakis.
You've seen those logger shows, one of those shows
X-Men,
where they're logging.
Yeah.
It was like Al Gore right after
right.
he lost the election.
Right,
the fucking
that long.
Put on 80 pounds.
So he just banged on my door and said, will you pick up your fucking phone? Everyone's driving me nuts. And I said, don't tell them I'm not talking. And that's what happened.
So they actually went to Jimmy and begged them to go get you.
Yeah, someone said, who lives closest to Adam and who might he answer his door? And they went and got Jimmy, and Jimmy went and got me and then started yelling at me that they're driving him insane.
Yeah, Dixon was one of, he represented me for a few years in the mid 90s, and that guy is like, he's, if there's a caricature of an agent, a cartoon character, a typical like throwback to the 40s, Marlboro Reds, like, you know, that whole like,
yeah, Mad Men.
He's Mad Men.
I gotta show you, I went out to lunch with Dixon today.
Yeah.
And if someone will go get my phone from my car and take a look at the last...
What are you doing, Brando?
The last picture. Yeah, it was for the cover of my book. He jumped in there. The last picture I took on there was Dixon going out. He not only, he lives like he's in the 50s.
Oh,
like
absolutely,
he's like
yeah.
two eggs, over easy, you know, with the thing and the
pound
coffee.
Of bacon.
A pound of bacon. And he, yeah, he just eats like a guy from the 50s. He does everything like a guy from the 50s.
I kind
of
like that about him, actually.
I do. And I took a picture of the graveyard of sugar packets and creams that had been spent. Like, he's one of these guys who I don't know why he likes coffee, because he drinks cream with sugar on top
yeah,
of it.
Yeah.
Like a splash of coffee.
Hummingbird's beak worth of coffee in there, like no detectable. Like if you like coffee, you can't taste coffee. And what? I'll show you the picture of what he did at the table today. Insane. All right, let's talk about you guys. And
I like the guy from the 50s, the 1850s, actually. Wrestle a water buffalo down. He, Dixon, a funny story about Dixon. We go in his old office at William Morris. He had a big office there, like a lot of, he was a successful guy there.
He is. And, he still is a successful guy.
He had this, well, I know, he's more successful now.
Right.
He leached onto you like a barnacle and Jim.
Sure. And rode this star to the top.
I went out to a few lunches with him. No agent's better. He goes, come on, let's get a steak, like every once in a while.
Right.
You know, and he would buy you a steak.
It's 8 a.m.
Yeah, right, exactly. So he had this huge corner office at William Morris, and they were trying to get me a development deal at Fox.
Right.
And everybody there was like, I had gone off Mad TV. I got arrested for possession of coke. I was in L.A. County Jail for a week, and everybody was like, they're not going to give you a lot of money because of your situation. So the highest offer was like $200,000 for like a year and a half worth of tying me up. And Dixon hears about that, and he goes, what are those L.A. jerk-offs doing? He goes, get in here. We'll fix this, you know. I'm like, all right. I walk in there. He gets the president of Fox on the phone and goes like this. He goes, Peter Roth. He's Pete. Yeah, James. He goes, listen, $1 million, you can take Artie off the market. And he hangs up on him. I got $750,000.
I know.
Jesus Christ.
Fucking maniac.
Because of that phone call.
Really?
And he hung up on it.
I got to get my agent some fucking bacon and eggs.
$1 million, you can take Artie off the market.
I'm looking at Artie. I'm going to profile on Artie, by the way, and I'm getting some John Matuszak in here.
Exactly.
It's the hair. It's something with the new hair.
I'm playing him in his E! True Hollywood Story. I'm doing reenactments.
You're cruising with the twos?
Yeah, he was, you know. Throwback to him.
So what, Artie, the sober, feeling good, is there, I have sober, actually, I just paid for one of my sober buddies' rehab stints.
Did you really?
Just from high school. Look, don't.
Can I have your number?
If you're going to make money,
yeah.
Move. Don't live in the same basic town you grew up in, because you'll be fucked if you keep all your old... Because you'll get those calls, like, who's paying for this guy's rehab? Well, his parents aren't, his wife isn't, and I'm not, and everyone else works construction.
I had to buy three of my buddy's teeth.
Teeth,
they
right.
They lost teeth from coke.
Right.
And the one kid wanted to work security for me, and I go, we'll call him Eddie.
Right.
I go, Eddie, you got to get teeth. He had no teeth.
Yeah, he got my teeth in rehab.
He got an estimate on the teeth that were $6,000. I'm like, well, I'll get your teeth. And
yeah.
I bought him teeth and he disappeared for 2 years.
They spent $10,000 on rehab.
Yeah.
And by the way, there's no, nobody thanks you.
No.
That's the other thing that's a little bit weird.
The story I told Nick about this one kid who owes me about $72,000.
Right.
And at the time, he owed me about $40,000. I had no cash on me. He needed $2,000. So I'm writing him a check. And I guess I had an aggravated look on my face. And the kid goes, hey, Lang. I go, yeah. He goes, what's with the attitude? True story.
This is...
Well, I'm 72.
So I know where you're coming from.
This is the same guy who, when I finally talked to him a couple days ago, oh, you need the keys? They on me? What did I do? Lock my car?
The porcelain punisher's been pacing nervously outside the door.
The porcelain punisher.
This is the longest he's been away from a toilet in years.
I said to him, hey, man, I'm writing the second book's coming out, and I need some pictures for the book. And I never owned a camera, and my family never owned a camera, but I always grew up with him, and he had a camera, and we were roommates for a while. And I said, do you think I could get any pictures you have of the old house, the old apartment, us back in the day, anything that might work for the book? And he said, yeah, I could get something together. And listen, as far as the other book goes, honestly, the reason I never responded when you asked for pictures for the first book is you had your assistant call me and, you know, it didn't feel good. And I'm like, fucking busy. And I've called you enough, and I've given you enough fucking shit. You got to be passive aggressive about me telling my assistant. You know, I probably gave him a list of, hey, call all these guys and ask them if they got pictures. I talk to these guys all the time. It's just I'm fucking busy or
I'm something you've never been busy.
Busy. Jesus Christ! Like really?
Yeah, they get attitude. They want to make they keep you in check. They want to make sure you don't get arrogant because.
Yes.
That, and it can really get ugly.
Yeah.
What are you, better than me now? Yeah. That type of fucking.
Yes.
No, you act like a guy who has teeth.
Yeah.
the kid on no teeth.
Yeah.
It was disconcerting.
Nick, Nick, are you tired of everyone talking to Artie and rehab and how you doing and how you feeling?
It's more adorable to talk about me and my wife watch American Idol.
Be honest.
I understand. It gets a little irritating, but for Christ's sake, the guy's lived an interesting life.
I have on Artie, we've touched on this a little bit, but and tell me how you're feeling. I don't want to send you into a shame spiral
but don't worry about it. Shame spiral.
That's a great name for a DVD.
What can you do to me, Adam? Look at me, Adam.
That's a great name for a DVD.
What the hell can you do to me?
Shame spiral.
The guys I know who have problems with addiction have a weird motor in them where it's like the foot is always tapping. It's like just tap, 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 tap. And there's something going on. And they're just look. Oh, by the way, that's James Baby Doll Dixon's.
Yeah, yeah. Look at that.
But that's halfway through the lunch.
Five creamers and like 12 sugars.
Jesus Christ.
He opens his sugars like terrorists empty a banana clip. Like he literally, he grabs nine in a line. He stacks nine like the human hand isn't meant to hold nine. Shakes it once, tears it apart like a strong man tearing a phone book in half. You know, it's like huge finger strength. Tears them all, and because if he did them individually, he'd be there for 4 hours adding sugar.
He really is a unique. And he moved out here, obviously, now, right?
No.
No, he still lives in Long Island with the wife, the kids, everything going on.
He'll just be like, I'll just talk to him, and he'll be like, what's going on? And he'll go like, you know, Jimmy made a solid BM. I'm coming out for a few days. And
right.
He'll come out. He'll just come out for a couple days
exactly.
And hang out, and then he'll go back again.
That's the move. He figured it out, man.
Yeah.
He somehow figured it out.
He's got the blood sugar of B.B. King, for Christ's sake.
Take a leg off him. Yeah, it's in... Saying how the man eats.
Jesus
but yeah, and that's halfway. That is halfway through the lunch. That is not. He had a couple more warm ups after that. There was more sugar.
He always took me to the Palm in New York for a steak.
Right. He's 140 pounds.
Yeah, he
looks just healthy.
Oh, he looks healthy.
Dixon though is a guy. He's got his caricature on the Palm out here.
Oh, he does.
Did you ever show it to you?
I'm probably.
Very proud.
I try to tune out.
Does he really?
He's got his face on
In the restaurant.
Either the one in New York or in Hollywood. Maybe both.
There's one in Buffalo I saw.
But isn't...
He's very...
What percentage of those guys are douchebags? Like, who just have caricatures or sandwiches named after them? You know what 96%.
I mean? 96.
I'm sure Ruben was a douchebag, whoever he is.
Monte Cristo was
a real asshole.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like...
Triple Decker?
All the guys who are up at the Palm or up at the, you know, Dantana's or whoever...
Carnegie
you know,
Deli in New York, you'll see some... All you got to do to get your photo up there is because the guy's got no idea. He's an older guy. If you tell him you're popular, he'll just put him on a wall. There's headshots of comics who maybe did two open mics in 1978.
Right.
They're still up there.
Yeah. You know what I never understood
killer.
When I lived in New York? All the headshots at laundromats.
Yeah.
How did they get them?
I live in Queens. I used to live in Queens, and there was a laundromat in my neighborhood.
Did you get him a headshot?
It had a picture of the fucking two guys from AC/DC. Fucking great guys running this place in their 70s. Apparently, they're the only one that could get, you know, virgin blood out of fucking Bon Scott's fucking shirt or whatever.
Well, we have the fluff and fold, or like the dry cleaners would have tons of pictures. But it was always the crazy deep Asians. And I mean not, you know, not Christy Yamaguchi Asian, but deep.
Oh, really?
The crazy boat people kind of thing.
That's fucking
and
deep.
There's a big picture of Rip Taylor behind the guy. And it's like, big fan growing up.
Wait, Waylon Jennings and Madam.
Yeah.
No, I know. Well, you
back
wanna...
on the Mekong Delta back in the day, huge fan of Waylon Jennings and Madam. Like, where do you know these people? Someone tells you that person's popular, right?
Right.
That's how it works.
That's at the Carnegie Deli. You go up to this guy and go, look, I'm a big comedian. You go, oh, really? Oh, yeah, we got to get him up there, you know? So it'll be Nipsey Russell and Eddie Mahoney from Maranek.
Sure.
And it's the guy, these they've been up to 30 years, some of them.
Yeah.
And I guess he doesn't want to take them down.
I know, they yellow like the Magna Carta.
Yeah. I do. Actually, the place we were eating today, Good Neighbors, has those pictures up.
Right.
But you don't have to be anyone. They'll just put the picture up. But the thing I always thought was funny is if you go to the part where there's all the older pictures from the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, everyone was smoking in the picture.
That's
like,
right.
You know, 9-year-old girls are just holding a doll.
Cigar.
So smoking, you know. And obviously, not every one of them smoked. Someone said, we're taking a picture. Here, hold this cigarette. And they're like, I don't smoke. You don't have to smoke it. Just hold it. You're just endorsing. Serious. Now, if a guy does smoke, hey, put the cigarette out. We're taking a picture.
Yeah.
It's a weird. Must have been great.
I think Dixon got on there because he was one of the few people left smoking.
Right.
Because they still smoke Marlboro Reds?
He does.
I mean, Reds. Like, not even to the left. I mean, like, the way he eats, looks healthy, he's fine.
He doesn't have a gray hair.
Yeah.
He doesn't have, he's, you know, 3% body fat. All he does is smoke and eat raw eggs and
bacon.
He's
probably got blood in his stool. He doesn't even know it, though, you know what I mean? There's a lot of people who look healthy, but inside they're rotting like a cantaloupe.
I know, but they outlive everybody.
That's confidence if you don't even look. Yeah. I know there's no blood in it.
I check it every morning since I hit 50.
So the radio show's going well, hitting its stride.
Yeah.
Feels good.
Yeah.
Are you in New York, in the city?
We're in New York. Yeah. We're right in the heart of the...
Right next to Radio City.
Right at Radio City Musical, yeah. But we're going to DirecTV produces it, and they have the Audience Network, and they're putting us on television. And for that, you talk about, like, I don't know where me and Nick went right here, but they're renting a 6,000-square-foot loft for 3 years.
Okay? Wow.
In Tribeca.
In the middle of...
Where do you see this thing, Steve
Madden shoe store right across the street, which means model pussy. That's
right.
Synonymous.
Sure.
Like, it just... running amok, Stewardesses, good food, in the middle.
Tribeca's unbelievable.
Great neighborhood. A lot of whoo-is coming in and out of there.
It's the kind of apartment that Madonna would have on a side in New York.
Is that like the stretch where they have the $50,000 mattress store?
That moved to Queens.
Oh, okay.
There's no bad neighborhoods in Manhattan left anymore.
Really?
The whole thing is gentrified.
Yeah.
All the uppies.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to send the tourists as a joke anymore.
So they'll
if you want to get stabbed, you got to go to Queens.
Wow. And they I was going to make a bad Artie stabbing joke there, but I'm moving on.
There's no bad ones.
Artie's just got to go home. All right, so there you go.
But I do it myself.
All right, and Artie, I was going to say you look good. You seem good.
We just did Conan O'Brien's show, and they had me on the monitor. Like, and Nicky's a good looking kid, right?
Yeah,
like a young George Raft, though.
Yeah, he is. He
does. George, he looks like, George,
you know,
Raft.
You know,
what the fuck is that?
He doesn't like what I say. It is, but spray tan and he has bedhead manipulator.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm. He looks good.
Yeah, it's hair gel. And
then there's me.
I'm a fake.
I saw on the monitor what I look 3 days from death.
Yeah,
I got the gray, and it's just I don't know. I just I don't look well, but
you can feel that, you know,
I feel
shaving.
Well.
You feel good.
I feel well though.
And what's the regimen for you?
I get up and go.
go lay down on the couch.
I started again. I tried to see a trainer, and
he dated her for like 3 weeks.
This is a true story. Like to me, like healthy people just say stupid shit that I have no fucking tolerance for.
Right.
This actually happened to me. This guy looks like right out of Baywatch, like just cut, you know, bicycle pants. My friend said, see this guy. It's a positive thing.
So,
maybe. I don't know. But we go there, and the first couple weeks, you know, I was coming off heroin, and every once in a while I'd stop. I was sweating, and he'd go, what's the matter, man? Come on, you know. Listen, I'll be honest with you. I'm trying to get off heroin, and it's hard to do that. I haven't substituted that feeling again.
Right.
And dead serious, he said to me, he goes, have you tried running? And I go, I don't understand what you're talking about. And he goes, a runner's high, I guarantee, is just as good as the high from heroin.
When you hit the 20th mile.
So now, maybe a person would just let that go. Go, let's get back to the squat thrust. But I was mad. I wanted to argue with him.
Sure.
I said, well, a runner's high is just as good as heroin. He goes, yeah, I guarantee it. I go, have you done heroin? And he goes, no. I go, well, then you're not qualified to be in this conversation.
Right.
I've done both.
Sure.
And I guarantee it's not even fucking close.
Yeah.
And then he goes, we're just being negative. I go, no, I'm being truthful. I said, listen, do me a favor. As a goof, try heroin. Contentious, like
yeah.
Just, come on. I try it, then come back.
Right, tell you.
And I'll try running long, because apparently you got to run farther than 20 feet to get the high.
Yeah.
And I guarantee, so, you know, long story short, he tried heroin. He's living under a bridge.
Already lying.
Now, the guy actually said that to me, and it didn't last because I got mad at him and snapped, and he called my friend that he recommended me to him because I don't like this guy. Like, I was rubbing off
right,
on him.
Right.
And then after that, I gained like 80 pounds from depression of losing his friendship. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, as a comedian,
yeah,
who cares?
Talk about you,
right? No, as you. You're a comedian.
No, I want to be healthy. Like, you guys figured out you guys are healthy, you look all right, and you're funny still.
Yeah, but you figured it out. We did the test show, for Christ's sake. How much did you weigh at the test show? You come in tan, and remember?
Yeah, I know. Thanks, Nick. I don't know what happened there.
I'm just saying you have the knowledge.
I go through spurts.
That's what I'm saying.
Are you going to meetings? Are you
seeing
a counselor, a therapist?
I've been going to Klan meetings since the 70s.
Seeing the cake boss.
They're not the same in Jersey, by the way. Sure. They let anybody in.
All right. And
who do I got to fuck?
Boss.
Who do I got to fuck to see a pure white baby?
Hey, where are the white women at?
And, yeah, I do all that shit. I mean, you know, the steps and... You go to that step where you have to apologize to people.
Just yeah.
God, am I fearing that?
It's horrible.
And I go, but there's a caveat to it. They go, unless it's going to cause trouble.
Uh huh.
And I go, well, there's not one example where it wouldn't. I can't
right.
think of one. You know, and they go, maybe you might get arrested for it. Then I'm starting to think of, like, I'm writing a second book, too. And mm-hmm. I wrote three chapters. Then I'm starting to think of the shit I admit to in the book. And I'm going, what, the statute of limitations?
I'm
fucking changing names and dates.
Yes. I've been on the losing end of that seventh step or whatever step it is where they
apologize.
Yeah.
I got to say, I'm sorry. I probably did something to you, right?
No, I don't give a shit.
Okay.
I'm fine with it. My friends used to pee on me on a regular basis.
Literally or figuratively?
They're trying to. They would piss on me. I've been hit in the ear with shit before. I've been punched.
You come from L.A., right?
Yeah.
Like a blue-collar neighborhood, I guess?
No, everyone did everything to everybody.
Right.
Like, it didn't matter.
Yeah, the old days where everybody wasn't so sensitive and the walls and fucking...
It's the weirdest thing when you get used to Hollywood or when you're from where we're from.
Right.
Because guys are supposed to fuck with other guys.
Right.
Like, when you see those 2020 spots, and they're like, there's hazing going on at the football camp. Something called teabagging went on, where they held down one of the young boys, and the other boys
anything
jumped, and
goes.
You're like, yeah, that's what you do. And to hear it described, and Hoda Kotb sitting in there, whatever her name is, and she's terrified of what's going on. And it's like, that's the way things work. And if you described any of the stuff any of my guy friends would have done, you know Daniel Kellison,
right?
Yeah.
We're out on one of our Manshore best of tours with the Juggies in Jamaica. It was the greatest thing he ever pulled off. He's still Comedy Central.
What a great paragraph. I'd have one paragraph like that in my life.
We got to go with the Juggies to Jamaica. For a week. And so we're out fucking around on like ski-doos. And he's like, you know, he's driving along. He's in front of me. He doesn't see me. He's in front of me. He's going 12 knots, whatever you do on the water. And he's just putting along. And I come up, and I'm coming behind him, and I swing out wide. And then I just come flying in at him. And the last second, I turn. I just hit him with a big wake, you know. And I go,
skimming today,
off.
Adam.
And we get back to the beach, and he's like, what the fuck was that? And I said, what do you mean? I just hit you with a wake. And he's like, you almost ran into me. And I said, no, man, I just shot a little rooster tail. Almost ran into me. I said, buddy, I saw you the whole way. I just came up and gave you a shot. He's like, you could have hit. And I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, well,
you don't understand. In my neighborhood, they would have had a handful of shit and hit you right in the back of the head with it.
Nick is with comics, it's that times a billion because you got guys who are not only good at insulting, but they're witty people, like, you know.
Right.
So you're opening yourself up for getting really just dressed down, and Nick is like the king of insults that are so quick but so funny, and there's a generation that appreciated that, like the Don Rickles or the think about the shit Don Rickles used to say.
My God,
you know, I mean, just to me, like, I told a story on Stern, and when I did Dirty Work with Norm, Rickles was there. He couldn't remember his line, so they just said, just insult Art, just look at him and insult him as him, and he
right.
you know, called me a baby gorilla. And talked to my stomach and said, hi, ice cream, having a good time in there? Dancing around? Baskin-Robbins called.
and said you ate them down to only five flavors, you fat, disgusting pig. And then he went to Norm. Norm was laughing. He goes, what's the matter? Are you laughing because I called your friend the fat pig? He goes, no, I was laughing when you were talking to his belly. And then he goes, how did you get a movie? The director goes, cut. Don, you can't insult Norm as Norm. He's a guy of character. His character name is Mitch. And
sure.
Okay, man. Who wrote these jokes? The script is horrible. Cut, Don, you can't.
You can't break down the fourth wall.
Just insulted Norm personally.
Yeah, your DP's doing a horrible job.
But the him and Patrice O'Neill, you know, sure. Remember who he was?
Sure.
Was, you're talking about two of the funniest guys who would go at it sometimes. And what
Patrice said to me?
Yeah.
When I misfired on a, you know, Tough Crowd. I was on Tough Crowd.
Right.
You did it
right,
with us,
right,
didn't
you? Yeah.
So I we're going back and forth, and
I said yeah, but I don't think I ever did Tough Crowd.
I
did.
I think you
I did so many. Look, I did The View and don't remember doing The View, so I don't know.
Let me clear your mind. Let me help you. Your memory. It paid scale.
Yeah. Shitty green room.
Yeah, but I said something to Patrice, some zing back that got nothing. So I reached for my cup of water like comedians do, and he goes, "That's right, stupid. Take a sip of timing."
Which is sort of like that's in front of a live one. On television.
That's right.
What you do for a living. Like,
right.
So sensitive about it.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's absolutely no,
and
like,
I could do nothing but fucking laugh my ass
and
off.
I'll tell this one because I don't think you want
it.
Do you want me to tell the...
Which one?
When he got a physical?
Oh, no, yeah, you can tell that.
So, this is...
He said it, I didn't
Patrice
say it.
A 350-pound black kid, and he just, you know, he just died recently, but he was just really funny and smart.
Close friend. We were pretty close.
No drugs or drinking like a lot of comics, but he had health issues and didn't eat well, and he had to get physicals a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was, like, diabetic. And
all that.
So there's this table at this club, the Comedy Cellar in New York, and all the comedians sit there. And anything goes there. It's how the world should be. You know,
right.
Race, anything. Everybody's got a good sense of humor. So Patrice O'Neill goes back from a physical, and Nick said, how'd the physical go? And Patrice goes, man, I got 7 out of 10 things that kill niggas. So Nick, in a millisecond, Nick goes, yeah, is one of them a handgun?
Does that include handguns?
And he just laughs. Everybody laughs. Everything's fine.
Laughing our balls off. Nobody got offended. No, you know what I mean?
It'd be nice. I know that's this whole Jeremy Lin thing and Ben and Jerry's and everyone's so fucking uptight.
Isn't it
and
crazy,
it's
so, Adam? God. Well, where the fuck are we now?
Well, it's weird that we've moved ahead and backwards. Like, we're simultaneously talking about gay marriage and...
Right.
Legalizing marijuana and all these other sort of progressive issues, and then freaking out when somebody makes a pun joke.
Yeah, right, exactly. The uptight, the people that claim to be
tolerant,
not uptight, are uptight about certain things.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean?
They're the most intolerant people, the people who claim tolerance. They want a colorblind society, and they're the ones who are obsessed with color.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Of course. Of course.
We're going backwards. We're regressing. You're absolutely right when it comes to...
Well, it's weird that when you turn on television and, you know, if you watched I Love Lucy, they couldn't say the word pregnant and they had to sleep in separate beds.
Right.
And...
Me and my wife do that, but...
all that good stuff. And now you turn on TV and they're saying, God damn it, and pissed off. And, you know, they're even throwing out stuff and showing guys' asses and other things. So on one hand, it's like they're doing...
Showing guys' asses. It's anarchy.
It's about time. It's about time.
That's right. And... It's lawless anarchy. We're seeing ass crack, but it's from that point of view, we've gone well beyond where censorship was, where
right.
the society sort of what a sensible society would be offended by. But when it comes to anything to do with race, we've taken a huge step backwards. Everyone else thinks it's a huge step forward.
Right.
I think it's a huge step backwards.
Well, everything should be on the same playing field with
but
whatever
it's Adam. It's white liberal people who get offended when
sure.
I do something racial in the crowd. And there's black people. They don't get offended or Asians
right.
or whatever. They're the other ones. They're laughing their ass off.
Sure.
It's the white kids who get uptight. You know what I mean?
There's groups of people that get offended for you.
No, somebody...
They tell you should be offended.
Well, that's
by
what I mean.
Like,
that's
really?
It's white people doing it to white people.
Somebody decided that a handful of people from Santa Monica who
exactly.
shop at Whole Foods with the coexist
right.
bumper
right.
sticker and the Prius should be the gatekeepers
that's
of
right.
what's offensive.
And
it's super condescending because really what they're saying is,
right.
hey, black guy, hey, Asian guy, you don't know enough. Let
right.
me be offended for
that's
you.
Right.
You're
that's
not,
racist.
If you were educated like me, you didn't grow up in a liberal arts environment like I did. To believe you me, you should be offended. You're just not smart enough to be offended. Except I'll be offended for you.
That's the irony.
It's affirmative action for being offended. Yeah. You can't do it. I'll do it for you.
Well, it's Teddy Kennedy forcing busing on people in the 70s in Boston, yet never lived near a black person in his life.
Right.
Or fucking Barbara Streisand.
Sure.
And then he kills a girl, drowns a girl, this guy.
Right.
It's the only thing he did right, this guy. But look.
I'm joking
out there, you feminine. You know it's a joke.
Yeah. Should we do, you guys want to jump in and do some news? I got a sponsor and a story to tell you guys about.
We're supposed to be up on current events for this?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You say whatever you want.
No. When I got out to L.A., I haven't looked at a newspaper in 2 days. I'm focusing on my Conan appearance. I haven't read a paper.
That was Artie Lang and Nick DiPaolo. Part one of it on the Adam Carolla Show. We'll play part two tomorrow. And it's good good to hear Artie more back in our lives. I know he's been doing podcasts lately, and he's been getting a lot better.
Healthy. He's finally sober, I guess, for the longest period of time ever. He talked about it in some other podcast appearances recently. He can't leave the state of New York, hence why he hasn't appeared on the Adam Carolla Show. But it'd be great to have him on a phone or next time you guys are in the city, get an episode with him. I'd like to hear an update. But it's great to hear he's healthy. And if you can't wait to hear part two in the Carolla Classics feed tomorrow, Podcast One Premium, home of all your favorite podcasts, you can hear this entire episode right now if you want to do that. Check it out, Podcast One Premium.
There you go. All right, we got more clips for you tomorrow, so stay tuned. We'll see you then. Once again, this is Chris Loxamana, and that's Superfan Giovanni saying,
mahalo and get it on.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with security shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.